listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Enjoy yourself. It's the only self you've got. I think that one of the most important keys to happiness and success, both in the martial arts and in life in general, is to appreciate and make use of the most important possession you have. You. By you, I mean both your brain and body, seeing as how they are inextricably connected. Neither will function without the other. They're both just part of a greater whole. I'm going to discuss what I consider to be the fallacy of the concept of mind-body duality in a later podcast. Anyway, it's always amazed me the extent to which humans will spend vastly more time, money, and resources on possessions other than their most important one. It's a sad cliche to see some poor schmuck sporting a huge spare tire of fat around his middle, a cigarette dangling from his lips, working hard polishing his car, or painting his house, or carefully constructing expensive miniature figures for playing Warhammer, or staying planted in the same chair for 11 straight hours playing Fortnite. Clearly, such people are capable of understanding the value of sustained effort towards a larger goal. But frequently, if asked to consider spending a fraction of the time, money, or effort that they're willing to expend on possessions or hobbies, on the most basic type of exercise, they either recoil in horror or laugh at what they consider to be the utter ridiculousness of the idea. I think most folks could really benefit from rethinking the way they conceptualize the human body. Your body is the spaceship that transports your brain on its lifelong voyage through a small part of the universe. Its life support system keeps your brain alive for, on average, an amazingly long lifespan compared to most other animals. Its internal security systems protect your brain and the spaceship from invaders, like viruses, bacteria, and other microbial ne'er-do-wells. Its weapon systems, to whatever degree they have been developed, perhaps even by upgrading them at your local martial arts academy, help to defend your brain from attacks by other brains riding around in their own spaceships. It's at least partly up to you to determine whether your spaceship is going to be durable, high-performance, and presentable, or a short-lived, barely-functioning, ugly mess. It can also be important to supplement it with the best equipment. For example, I remember something that happened in a store years ago when, being within earshot of a sales counter, I heard a customer complaining to the sales clerk about the price of a motorcycle helmet. He said, $50 for a helmet? I just saw a helmet at Kmart for $20. The sales clerk's dry reply was, "Well, sir, I guess it depends on whether you have a $20 head or a $50 head." This pithy, smart-ass response impressed me so much that I remember it vividly to this day. Wise words, indeed. Which is the bigger mistake? Spending a bit too much for better protection, and thus risking feeling like you lost by being cheated? Or suffering a fractured skull with 30 extra dollars in your pocket? Working hard to have a fit, healthier body also does wonders for your emotional state. And of course, the reverse is true. To me, one of the most shocking results of detraining, that's the fancy term for ceasing to exercise for a significant number of days, is how utterly depressed I become. And it's equally surprising just how much better I feel after even the first workout when I resume. There's a great deal of wisdom in the old saying about family politics that goes, "If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy." A similar saying might go something like, "If the body ain't happy, then the brain ain't either." On a more positive note, It feels so much better to inhabit a body that is at least marginally fit. It also feels good just to move. You might even find yourself parking farther than necessary from your destination so that you can take a little walk, or taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Not just because you know it's good for you, but because you know that the mini workout will make you feel better. In addition, you should cultivate a childlike fascination with learning new things for your brain and body to try. Pick up a new sport. I started disc golf about a decade ago, and I love it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the martial arts. I have for the 47 years that I've practiced them. And I'll continue to love and practice them in one form or another until they nail me into a box. But I also love being a total rank beginner at something new and different. There's nothing like taking a huge bite out of a steep learning curve. I also encourage you to grow more curious about your brain and body and how they work. If you're someone who goes to the trouble of carefully reading the owner's manual for a product you've purchased, or watch a YouTube video about how to use it or care for it, why wouldn't you go to at least the same trouble to learn about yourself? Yet another aspect of realizing the value and importance of your own body and brain comes out in the actual process of training in the martial arts. What I'm going to discuss now just may be the least exploited resource in the pursuit of that process: the brain and body of the student. But Jeff, you might say, I get the body part, but the reason that I'm taking martial arts lessons is that I'm clueless about the martial arts. My brain has very little to contribute to the process, other than listening carefully and working my body hard. Now, if you feel this way, I ask you to reconsider. I assert that the foolish and all too common approach is to think that once you find and pay a competent instructor, the burden of thinking and being creative is now completely on him or her. Of course you should follow your instructor's guidance. Of course you will be doing the reps, feeling the fatigue, pain, and joy common in the development of new skills. If you want to maximize the speed of your martial education, however, you need to understand the importance of your mind and body in the process. Take an active role in it. Do plenty of practice on your own, in addition to the reps that you execute in class. Be extremely mindful during this process. Pay attention to each repetition and how it feels. Don't worry about developing bad habits from training while unsupervised. It's far more important to squeeze in the extra repetitions, even if they're less than perfect. The resulting experience will help you grow more familiar with your body and motion, and to generate good questions to ask your instructor. As the student, you have a unique perspective that no instructor, no matter how skilled, can possibly have. No matter whether you're an autodidact, which in highfalutin English means self-taught, or you're learning under the best of circumstances with the best of instruction and facilities, you, and only you, have any idea what you are feeling and thinking. Your brain is exactly the thing that's learning the martial arts. And furthermore, your brain is what is expressing the martial arts, at least to the extent that it can, and it is expressing it through your body. These are the key words: your brain, your body. Without being disrespectful to your instructor, seek out additional sources of knowledge. You are fortunate to live in a time when such knowledge is abundant and easily accessible. Of course, it's great to have a good martial arts instructor, but there are lots of very good instructors out there. There is only one, you. There's also a significant subset of instructors who are really not very good. But, more often than you might imagine, I've seen horrible instructors who, despite being horrible, have occasional anomalous students come along that are amazingly good. Now, in the first draft of this podcast, I worded that last sentence a little differently. I had it reading, I've seen horrible instructors who, quote, produced, unquote, amazingly good students. Then I rethought using the word produced. Its present tense is a cool word, produce, from the Latin producere, meaning to bring forth or to lead out. But it's also the root word for product. Lots of martial arts instructors want you to think that their students are their products. The phenomenon of the cult of personality surrounding a charismatic martial arts instructor is a real and all too common problem, which spins off a host of knock-on effects that are additional problems. One of these additional problems is the tendency for an arrogant instructor, and through his or her influence through the rest of his students, to minimize the role of the student in the learning process. The reality is that all students are at least partially self-taught, a joint product. I think that the student's active involvement in the learning process is so important that it's more important than having a great instructor. To quote Bruce Lee, ultimately, martial arts knowledge is self-knowledge. Even the most brilliant instructor in the world comes in a distant second. Don't misinterpret what I've just said. I'm not advising you to argue with or disrespect your instructor. Please don't contradict or correct them. And for pity's sake, don't say something like, "But Sensei, Jeff Westfall says." First of all, his or her response, as it should be, will be, "Who the hell is Jeff Westfall?" And his second response should be to give you push-ups for being disrespectful. Remember that this is a cooperative process with your instructor, not a chance to show off to him or her how much you know. Instead, you should make every effort to communicate to him or her questions you may have, as well as observations on how certain elements of your training feel to you. Make full use of your instructor's expertise by joining fully into the learning process with your brain and body. So remember, enjoy yourself. Life is way too short to live it any other way. Here's a programming note for both of my listeners. For about the next month, I will be unable to produce any new episodes. So I'll be re-releasing classic episodes of the Martial Brain podcast to hold you till I come back. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think. And check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.